Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time to hit the C-note, Cowboys news of the evening, as we're under a month to Oxnard. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas and all the way through this summer and into training camp and into the season, every day at 320. I try to get you some of the most interesting headlines I can find. Now, from time to time, we journey into Jerry the Businessman. And this is a story right here of where he saw opportunity when he bought the Cowboys 3.5 decades ago. This is from the Twitter account of Andrew Engler. He's the CEO of some hedge fund or something. He's at AE Rockrose. Posted a clip of Jerry talking about the distressed asset filter. The real opportunity was not glamour. It was forced sellers, broken collateral, and business nobody could finance. Here's Jerry.
The issue was that since there was no such thing as the word profit in sport, the issue was that the Cowboys were losing $1 million a month. And control was headed to the courthouse. I bought 15% of the Cowboys from the FDIC that had been foreclosed. Right. So the issue was more about what the Cowboys weren't and the issues for whether it be a bank or whether it be of any type of financing that was involved. I couldn't really borrow anything against the Cowboys. I had to use my other collateral to borrow about $35 million toward $150. And that was the real meat and potatoes of what caused that thing. But it was a period of time when everybody needed a little bit of grace or slack to keep these Cowboys in place. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been the guy that ended up with the Cowboys. It would have been, might have been Donald Trump. Might have been certainly other qualified peoples in tech.
A lot of different ways that thing could have gone. And the history of sport changed when Jerry bought the team, because I don't know if everybody realizes just how different sports were pretty much before Jerry bought the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the access to them on television, the profitability of them. But Jerry revealed early on in that answer, you know, back then in sports, you weren't getting in there to become rich. You know, Jerry kind of brought that to the table, I think, with his unique business mind and his showmanship. You know, but whatever it was that sparked his brain changed sports forever, and you know, now has made it throughout his lifetime the highest and fastest appreciating asset in his portfolio, which is really saying something. Nick Eatman's article today, roll call, Anthony Smith has rare combo of size and speed. Brian, I'd forgotten about this guy until you mentioned him the other day.
Yeah.
But he is the wide receiver from East Carolina. It's just a training camp primer article, basically. But Anthony Smith's final game in college will go down in the ECU record books, 156 receiving yards in the bowl game. They played the Go Bowling Military Bowl. MVP honors. 2025 season, his big playability allowed him to be added to the Biletnikoff Award watch list for the nation's top receivers. And he's proven to be, had 20 catches last season of 15 yards or more, led his team with 359 after the catch. He had more yak than George Pickens did last year.
Great size and elite speed.
Okay. So what do you think his Very role could so. Be his rookie year?
He's going to be fighting to make the team.
Make the team.
You know? But I think special teams, right? He's got to prove that he can find a role there, and then can he be your wide receiver five? And certainly when you've got the speed and the ability to stretch the field vertically that he has, I mean, that's an attribute. They've lacked a little bit of speed. I mean, certainly that's what Turpin can provide you. I think, you know, Brian, I think you're with me on this, that we're kind of hoping that Turpin just goes back to
yes.
more of a return specialist.
Yeah, just be a return guy. Be one of those core return guys. The thing with Smith, what he has to do is he has to take advantage when other receivers aren't practicing. when other receivers are having bad days. You know, receiver play, when you watch training camp practice, is such a roller coaster ride. You could have guys look good. We always talk about that. Oh, all Oxnard.
That was Trey Sean
Holden. Ranch, all the all these guys.
Noah Brown.
And then it's like the ones that make the team are the ones that from the word go every day have a – and then it's funny because I'm thinking of Eric with that whole thing with Pat Mahomes. A day by day by day, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the same thing. Like there was.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve, if you look at with Ryan Flannoy and what he did, Ryan Flannoy every day had a practice and then had another practice. And then guys were kind of not – and then guys were having bad practices and he was still having good practice. He's going to start off very low on the depth chart and then he's going to have to find ways – to be able to get notice, and he's going to be probably playing with bad quarterbacks, with like Joe Milton, maybe overthrowing him a couple of times and stuff like that. But his ability to make plays is, and he's going to have to do it every day in order to make this football team.
Seems like he's going to have to be outstanding, you know, to show out more than some of the guys that are already in there that can't even sniff the roster.
That's what it's when you look at receiver. Because what happens, especially to rookie receivers, they get tired, they get sore, they get beat up. They're not used to running this much in a practice. And then what happens is you start to – it starts to – and then mentally, if you have a couple of drops along the way where you're fighting the ball, it only gets worse.
Yeah, you start to get exposed.
You do.
You weren't ready.
You weren't ready. Yeah.
Mark Heaney, Inside the Star, writing today, headline, Cowboys roster cuts could include two key secondary contributors. We were talking about Reddy Stewart and TriQuez Bridges. A combined 33 games last year. Stewart played in 17. Bridges played in 16. But, I mean, you start to do the numbers game. And Bland, the rookie Moore, Kalen Carson, Durant, Butler, and Revel. Plus Darian Kendrick, that's seven names already. Yeah. You know, they're going to have 11 or 12 corners, and I hope they're that good. I hope they're so good that even Reddy Stewart and TriQuez Bridges, who got all that experience last year, are going to be usurped. I think that would be an incredible sign. Mauricio Rodriguez, A to Z Sports, says the retirement of C.J. Goodwin sets the table for some interesting roster decisions, and I think maybe this is – you know, you go to the all three phases conversation and special team, sure, it's important, and making field goals is important, but their kick return was terrible last year.
It was absolutely terrible.
They averaged the worst opponent starting field position in the entire league. Mm-hmm. And some of that's your turnover on downs or bad turnover luck or whatever, but a lot of it was kick return coverage. It prevented them from really getting back in the game against Detroit. Every time they would score to get close, there's the Lions starting their next drive at midfield.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was C.J. Goodwin a problem? Should we be celebrating this retirement as he has left and the opportunity to turn somebody over new to be like, is this a special teams captain?
I mean, I don't want to say I'm celebrating his retirement, but yeah. I mean, he was a guy, Brian and I would be watching the game up in the press box and like – was that C.J. Goodwin? He was getting penalized more than he was making plays. Yeah. You could tell he just wasn't the same. The last 2 years, he's a player that I don't know has really earned his roster spot. But, man, I mean, he carved out a hell of a role, had a tremendous career as a special teams ace, but I think that he saw that he just wasn't the same difference-making player. And when you're having a roster spot for a guy that literally that's his only role, he can't give you anything in terms of cornerback play, I think he's taking up a spot for somebody else. And that's how I felt last year with C.J. Goodwin on the team.
They kept Nick Sorensen, which would suggest they didn't think the problem was coaching. Maybe new players in there, but that's one of those things that I don't think we're going to be able to evaluate till we're in season, can you?
I think Nick Sorensen is clearly on the hot seat. This was a shoddy hire. Hmm. And let's see if, in fact, I mean, it was, you know, he brought him in. He was a former defensive coordinator, and, you know, and had been a special teams coach before. But, yeah, I mean, listen, we used to complain about Bones Fossil. You know, I'm not complaining about Bones Fossil anymore after watching what Nick Sorensen's been doing.
Yeah, Bones Fossil, John, he had a blind spot with kickers. He was overly loyal to his guy Zuerlein. And that probably made me turn against him. Mm-hmm. But in the year since, you know, and as important as this is, and listen, you know, talking about kick return coverage is like the sports radio equivalent of watching paint dry.
Yes.
You know, it's very boring.
Unless it's a touchdown or something.
So you don't want to spend too much time on it. But I think it is it's one of the clear spots where this team gave away too much hidden yardage along with their penalty differential and their turnover differential last year. Those things got to be better, especially if they're going to run the gauntlet against this schedule. It's time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, how clutch is your quarterback? We'll talk about that next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.